Welcome everyone to Peace Online. My name is Winston Pratt and I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Peace Mennonite Church in Richmond, BC. I know that this morning we are going to be having many other people joining us from outside of British Columbia, in actual fact, all around the country. So a warm welcome to you. And my prayer is that this morning that you will be blessed by our service and our time of worship together. So just to orient you, I know that for many of you this is the Sunday after Easter, but this is actually my recorded message for Easter Sunday for our church. And in some ways I was thinking, you know what, we can never get too much of Easter. So the Easter hope and the Easter message is one that we need to be sharing as often as we can and living into that hope. So even though this is the week after Easter, we pray that you'd still enter into that Easter joy with us again this morning. So just to orient you a little bit as to what's going to happen, it's obviously the Easter Sunday service, but as part of the lead up to Easter, I was doing a four-part series through the servant songs in Isaiah. And the idea behind the series was to ask this question: who did Jesus see himself to be? Really, it was a question about self-identity. What was his own sense of consciousness about who he was, his identity, and what he was called to be, his mission? And we discovered that Jesus discovered his identity from the scriptures. And so we looked at these four servant songs in Isaiah to get a picture from them of what Jesus saw there about the suffering servant who would be the one that God would use to redeem and to restore his people, but also to redeem and to restore the rest of the world. So Jesus discovered something of his identity even through these four songs. So my prayer, as I mentioned, is that you'll be blessed by today's service, but also very much that your own imagination and understanding of who Jesus is will be enlarged and that your faith will be strengthened as we get to see who our Lord saw himself to be and what he came to do for us. So blessings as you join us for today's service. Greeting, friends, and happy Easter. Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. The kingdom of God has been inaugurated, the hope of the world. So we have been exploring how Jesus came to understand his identity these past few weeks. And by identity and destiny, I mean who he saw himself to be, but also what he understood his life's purpose was, his calling and his mission. And we saw that this became clear to Jesus from Israel's scriptures. And so we have been looking at the four songs in Isaiah known as the servant songs to get a picture from them. These songs speak of a special servant who will accomplish great things for God. And these four songs are like a mosaic of tiles, each one of them adding more color to the picture of who the servant would be. So what have we seen so far? Well, in song number one, we saw something of the servant's character and the servant's call. In song number two, we saw something of the challenge that they would face and the reward that was waiting for them. And then on Good Friday, we saw that the servant would be a powerful teacher and a faithful disciple. But also on Friday, we ended with an open question. Was Jesus' confidence in God's plan and promise justified? So today, we come to the last and the longest song. Yep, I'll be honest, it's a pretty big one, running a total of 15 full verses. But what's really exciting about this one is that everything seems to come together in this song. So let me read it for us, and as you follow, I want you to see if you can pick up some of the themes that we have covered already. And given that today is Easter Sunday, I want you to see if you can pick up notes of vindication and also notes of resurrection hope too. So let me read. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being and his form marred beyond human likeness, so he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told they will see, and what they have not heard they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with transgressors, for he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for transgressors. Friends, talk about intense. This song hits you with a rapid flow of thoughts and feelings and experiences all at the same time. And in many ways, that's intentional, because it helps us to see the mix of emotions the servant will experience as their unique path becomes clear. It draws us, so to speak, into the story and their experience. So there are two questions that I want us to consider today. The first one is one that we have been asking throughout the series. What did Jesus see of his identity and mission in the song? But for today, I want to add this one. How does this song connect to the Easter story? So let's dive in and let's see what Jesus saw. Jesus saw that there was great glory and reward in store for being faithful to God. The song begins and ends with great acclaim and glory from God to the servant. This is what it says. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. So you can ask the question, what was this high honor for? Well, in a very real sense, for acting wisely by following God's words. God would ask the servant to trust the course of action that he was laying out, even though the path was costly, and even though the plan seemed risky and, in some senses, very counterintuitive. Friends, this is what God is asking of us all the time. Will you trust my promises? Will you trust my plan for your life? And will you believe my words? Jesus saw that this is what the servant did. And so the song ends, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong. Sorry, friends, I know we come from an Anabaptist background, but it's a military image. It pictures a great general returning from a famous victory, and his name gets enlisted in the great hall of fame, and he gets to divide the spoils of war with his fellow warriors. It's a great hero among other heroes being celebrated, lifted up, exalted. Nonetheless, it's also a bit of a disturbing picture. The picture reminded the servant that a great battle lay ahead. Before glory and reward lay challenge and opposition. Jesus saw that the servant would suffer and die. The servant was called to take on the worst of humanity. He would face immense personal hostility. He would be reviled and hated and looked down upon by his very own people, even though he was acting for their good. This is what the song says. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and he was held in low esteem. Jesus saw that despite the servant's best efforts, the nation would still reject him. And they'd reject him because he was not the kind of leader that they wanted or the kind of leader that they were expecting. His teaching confronted them with their own sin, and that's always uncomfortable, not just the sin of their enemies. And also he exposed their hypocrisy for doing all the right things on the outside, paying so much attention to the externals, but on the inside, their hearts were still very, very far from God. And so they would not appreciate the challenge one bit, and they would begin to conspire against him. And unfortunately, this conspiring and scheming would turn ugly and violent, unjust and murderous in the end. It's all there in the song. And it makes, let's be honest, for pretty gruesome reading. And so, friends, here are three brief excerpts again. The first one, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet, it asks, who of his generation protested? They would accuse him unfairly, and they would try him unjustly. And at the same time, no one would come to his defense. Even though he was innocent, not even one of his trusted friends. It also says this, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond any human likeness. And we know from the Easter story that they would torture him and beat him for no good reason at all, other than to punish and to break him, to rid themselves of his unsettling presence and his unsettling teaching, and to make of him an example for others not to follow. And then it also says, he was cut off from the land of the living. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and the rich, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. They would execute him like a common criminal for no good reason at all, for nothing. His death would be a cruel and terrible miscarriage of justice. So Jesus saw all of this, my friends. He saw all of this, but still he committed himself to fully follow God's way. Why? Well, thirdly, he saw that the servant's death would accomplish something great. This is what it says. Surely he took our pain and he bore our sufferings. The servant would stand in for us, stand in for God's people, and also stand in for the world. It goes on. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. The servant's death would be a sacrifice of atonement for sins on our behalf. And his blood would become the blood of sacrifice that would make us clean, in other words, right with God, by dealing with the matter of sin and guilt on our behalf. This was always the thing that impeded our relationship with God. So why was this necessary? Well, the song goes on to say, because we all, like sheep, have sinned and we've gone astray. Each of us turned to our own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. So what was due to us because of sin, the servant would take upon himself. But only one kind of person could atone for the sin of others. Someone worthy of being a substitute and a sacrifice for sinners. And someone who had been faithful to God all along and whose track record was unblemished. And this is what Jesus saw. This is what he saw that he was called to be. He was called to be this worthy sacrifice of atonement. He also saw that he was called to bring peace between God and us, restoring that broken relationship to solid and sound footing again. Jesus, my friends, was being called to do for Israel what she could not do for herself, and that is be a faithful servant, bringing God's light to the world. And here's the big thing. Her failure meant that God's plan had become stuck. Jesus' success would mean that they could again become that light, fulfilling her destiny of making God's blessing flow to the rest of the world through her, as God had promised to Abraham. As the song says, his atoning blood will sprinkle the nations, for he bore the sins of many. The servant would be the one, friends, who would open up God's blessings to the whole world. This is what Jesus saw, and this was what he saw he was called to be. But fourthly, it would be totally unexpected. No one would see it coming. And how's this for vivid imagery? Kings will shut their mouths because of him. In other words, gasp when they find out. For what they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. No one foresaw that this is our God who'd redeem the world. In a very, very real sense, it was a divine masterstroke. God's secret weapon was hiding in plain sight, right under their noses, doing exactly what God wanted, and they did not see it until the deed was done. And when they did see, little did they know that their sinister plan would serve God's purposes beautifully. Their plan of killing Jesus would in effect deal a death blow to themselves. So, why did they miss it? Why? That's a good question. And I believe the answer is because they were looking for the wrong things. The servant would not conform to this world's notions of popularity and success. The song goes on to say, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, and nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. It turns out, friends, that God did not play by our playbook. Our playbook says that you got to look the part, you got to have the right image, you got to be blessed with this great sense of personal charisma, placing so much emphasis on external appearances. We discover that none of these counted with God at all. No, there was nothing to draw special attention to the servant at first. So, in a sense, he was right there under their noses and they couldn't see it. No one expected that God would achieve a great victory by sending the Messiah to die in our place. And no one expected that self-denial and self-sacrifice would be the path to glory. And no one except Jesus, that is, no one expected any of this. And as he read the scriptures and as he listened to the Father, Jesus discovered how God was planning to fight this mighty battle with sin and with Satan and death and win. And it would be in such an unexpected way. But fifthly as well, we get a glimpse into what vindication would look like. Vindication would mean resurrection to new life. They may kill him, but God will bring him back to life again. Listen again to what the song says after the servant has offered up his life. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, speaking of what God will do, and he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Oh, my friends, and after this day would be that exalted honor for his success. Why? Because the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. He knew that even though it was a hard choice, trusting God was the right choice, was the right thing to do. God was on his side, and God would vindicate him by raising him to new life again. And this Easter, that is what we celebrate, because that's exactly what God did. So friends, bringing all these threads together in this fourth song, what did Jesus see? Well, I believe Jesus saw that there would be great sacrifice demanded. He was called to shed his blood and to die for our sins in our place. But he also saw that there would be great glory too. God would vindicate him by raising him from the dead and exalting him to God's right hand to rule over God's world on God's behalf, the highest position of honor in all of the universe. Friends, that is where Jesus is right now. So Easter reminds us that Jesus' victory was cross-shaped. There was this vertical dimension, but there was also this horizontal dimension. And if we think about it, on the horizontal human axis, Jesus saw himself as embodying faithful Israel in a way that the nation failed to be. He was fulfilling her destiny for her. And on the vertical divine axis, Jesus saw himself as embodying Israel's faithful God, as the one who comes to save in the most unexpected way. So pulling it to today, we've got to ask ourselves, what does resurrection mean for us? Well, friends, firstly, I believe it means that Jesus is who he said he is, the Messiah, God's anointed servant leader and king. Secondly, I believe it means that he accomplished the mission God set out for him, to offer himself as an atonement for the sins of the world, thereby to save us. And thirdly, as well, I believe it means everything else that he claimed about himself and the Father is true, including this bold statement that he made on one occasion. I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friends, this is always Jesus' call to us, that we would come to him as Lord and as Savior, that we would place our faith and our trust in him as the one who forgives our sins and the one who restores us back to God. So my question this Easter is, will you trust him? And will you heed his call to follow him as your Lord and Savior? Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us and for taking the costly path to glory so that we could be at peace with God. Thank you, Lord, that your blood washes us clean from all sin and that we are fully forgiven because of you. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that in you there is the promise of new life and hope for this world and the next. And thank you that the power that raised you from the dead is the power of the Holy Spirit that you have given to us to live for God and for you each day. Oh Lord Jesus, fill our hearts with the joy of resurrection hope. Fill our hearts, O Lord, with the comfort of being at peace with God. And fill our hearts with the sure knowledge that you are the only way back to God. We ask all of this in your holy and precious name. Amen.